Because we're actually going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. It's Christ taking his church out of the world, and so we are with him in the clouds. It's not his second coming. He's taking the church out of the world. His second coming, which will destroy and end the dominion of the Antichrist, happened 7 years after the start of the Great Tribulation. So our adversary, working in and through the Antichrist in Daniel 7:25, is where we were last week. You will want to turn your Bible to that and keep your fingers in the pages. And a portion that I'm just going to address here, that this Antichrist shall speak pompous words against the Most High. No surprise, really. He did that in the book of Isaiah. We read that last week. And he will persecute the saints of the Most High. Ah, but you just said, and I've mentioned last week, but you just said that the saints were raptured out of the world. Yes, they were. So what does this say to us? Many more will come to faith during the Great Tribulation. Especially in this first 3.5 years of the tribulation is what we're looking at here. So we need to remember that saints are not just people who go to church. This is not the church being raptured out of the world. It is in the sense that believers are part of Christ's church, but not church as we would identify it as a building or a denomination. The word saint literally means set apart one. So we have Old Testament saints who were set apart. We have New Testament saints set apart. And there will be tribulation saints set apart. Won't be an easy time to be saved, but people will be able to get saved in the tribulation. Well, they won't have the message. Yes, they will. They'll have the memory of being preached to by their families. They'll have the prayers that you prayed for them now when they're there. Imagine the commotion that will be going on after the rapture. There will be people realizing that their spouses, family members, children and friends were right. And they'll want to be where they are. And so we'll seek salvation and look to Jesus. I never had any Bible knowledge at all. And my first prayer had no faith involved in it at all. And what it was God, if there really is a Jesus, can you help me? And I experienced my first miracle right on the heels of those simple few words. And he did some stuff that was just like, oh, yeah, I'm real, Wayne. I'm more real than you thought. And so as far as us, God doesn't need us. He works through us, but he certainly doesn't need us to save people. So they want to be where they are, so they'll seek salvation. God is not willing that any should perish. This is why I'm talking this way, but that all should come to repentance. You'll find that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. So it's the that we looked at. It's the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron mixed with clay. Each stage, the material, gets harder and harder and harder to deny God. Things, the heat gets turned up. Right now, we're living in a world, it must be really hard to deny the need of God. Because everything is seriously going sideways. There will also be those who are glad that there are no more Christians momentarily to bother them with the gospel message. And after the shock and horror caused by the rapture has dissipated, the world will have peace for a little while. It will be very peaceful. There will also be those who are glad that there are no more Christians. Oh, sorry, I just said that. The Antichrist will take advantage of this quiet time. It's called circumventing, gaining advantage. As an unbelieving Gentile, he has no regrets that the Christians are gone. He may even empathize with those who have lost loved ones, but will give reason why the world is better and more peaceful place without the Christian faith. I'm surmising here, I'm supposing, but it's just a point of interest, possibilities that will happen. We have the facts, the timeline, so we don't need to read into it too much, but we can think about it. He may even cite religious wars and atrocities done in and throughout the church as sound reasoning for persecuting the tribulation saints. It's good to sound reasonable, especially if you're trying to sell somebody a watch and you're a fraud, and he is a fraud. Daniel 7:25, now the phrase in there, he shall persecute the saints of the Most High. The Antichrist hates everyone that God loves, especially the saints. God loves the world, and God especially hates the saints. The world is, it's possible to be saved, saints are saved. Daniel 7:23, we're just looking back in a verse, helps to understand this. The fourth beast, this is what he's like. The fourth beast shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. So he's not anti-religion, the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist who wants to rule in the place of Jesus Christ. So he'll use whatever he needs to use in any direction he needs to use it. He may even try to gain some favoritism with the Jews at that time, so that when he makes his effort to change laws and times, that's about getting rid of Judaism. So you'll need to snuggle up and get close if you want to do that. The epitome of evil. Not just an example, the epitome of evil. It's what he is. He, just like Nebuchadnezzar, will be wanting the center of everyone's worship. Not just respect, worship. We'll get into that a bit later. I'll give you an example of that. Daniel 7:25, another phrase, and shall intend to change times and law. Let's remember now that the Antichrist has come up in the world as the little horn, insignificant himself or from an insignificant nation. We really don't know. Horns are symbols of power and position, we've looked at. The Antichrist is politically motivated and postured. He is on the move and ready to make the necessary changes needed to accommodate his agenda. When he steps into doing his thing, yeah, it's a no-nonsense. It's not, gee, I hope to accomplish. Yeah, he's got lots of things he can't, but nonetheless, that's what it'll be. So let's go back to the original description of the Antichrist. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. And just consider this for a moment. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking pompous words. Three of the ten horns were plucked out by the little horn speaking pompous words. We had a question at Bible study last week, and it was, what happened to the other seven horns? And the answer that came out, they decided to play along. Obviously, three didn't. And he simply removed them. They decided to play along. This is the heavy-handed attitude, and oddly enough, he's going about to establish again the Roman Empire, or at least that Roman rule. And you can say, well, Rome's already been conquered. No. Rome was never conquered. It fell from within. And that's the kind of guy that he is. And so he uses the same sort of techniques that the Romans used. And so just in way of reminder, you'll find in your bulletin two pages. You'll find one with all this writing on it, and you'll find the times of the Gentiles. I put that in there just as a reminder to you, so you can see what we're looking at. The teeth of iron. Looking at number four, the little horn. Five kingdoms. The fourth kingdom is Rome. And I've just explained this, but just I have it written a little more clearly. How can we have a fourth kingdom twice, you say? We can't. Rome, the fourth kingdom, was never conquered. It fell from within. Its own debauchery brought it down. The Antichrist is going to try to resurrect it. So in the end, there will not only be a false Christ, there will also be a failed resurrection of the glory of man. And God will see to that. That's what's going to happen. When man is a part of it, we won't be here. So don't worry about it. And you don't need to know all this information to be saved. You don't need to know all this information to get saved. God saves us. And we'll be out of the world at this time. But this is the end of the world. That's what we're looking at. When man is apart from God, all his efforts fail before God, whom he must give an answer. That's just the way it is. You can't win with God. You fight with God, you lose. You play games with God, you lose. Not somebody we want to mess around with. Take seriously, love and enjoy, absolutely. Play games with, no. He'll play a game of chess with you if you want. If you don't mind consistently losing. The Antichrist will not be the first one to ever play God and try to take over the world. Caligula, Caesar, thought he was God. Alexander the Great and Hitler tried in our time even to take over the world. They wanted everything. They wanted people to bow down to them. They wanted to be the greatest. All of these men used force and deception. The Antichrist will follow suit in forming and ruling a one world government. He will succeed at a one world government for a short time. But being the center of worship in the world, never. God shares his position with no one. This will be the fall of the Antichrist. Remember he said in Isaiah, I will be like the Most High? No. You can try, you can be a fraud, but you're never going to be God. This will be the fall of the Antichrist, and God will be the one to take him down. The Antichrist's plan is to use everyone and anything he can to form a one-world government and a one-world religion with himself at the center of its worship. His intention to change times and law is to eventually bring an end to the practice of Judaism itself. It's going to be like Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3. Anyone who does not bow down and worship him will be destroyed. Same old battle over and over and over again. But there's coming an end. And God will be victorious. Matthew chapter 4. Say, what are we doing in the book of Matthew? This is the Bible. And all of these happenings, we find, and things that relate to them from one end of the Bible to the other. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. This is Jesus and his temptation in the wilderness, and Satan was there tempting him. And in verse 8, Satan, it says, and again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So he answered him correctly with the word. Please don't think just because you quote the Bible, you're quoting truth. If the Spirit of God is not handling the word through your life, you're probably not handling it correctly. You're probably reading into it what you wanted to say so you'll feel better, or so you can put somebody else in their place. That is wrong use of the Word of God. And you see here, there's another one a little further on. Is that the last one? No, that was the last one. Yes. He quoted to him, if you read these over in Matthew chapter 4, you find that at one point Satan quotes to Jesus word for word out of Psalm 91. About how he'll give his angels charge over you that you won't dash your foot against a stone. Word for word out of the Bible. And Jesus, through the Spirit, nailed him with the reality, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. We need the Spirit of God. We can't handle the Bible correctly without him. You can't even read it and understand it correctly without him. He is here with us on a daily basis to show us and lead us into the truth all the time. Make sure when you read your Bible, you're prayerful about it. Make sure you're careful about it. Make sure you ask him things like, Lord, am I missing something here today? Or did I get what you're trying to say to me? Are we so busy looking for things to put somebody else in their place that we miss what he's saying to us? The most dangerous thing about being a pastor is preparing a sermon for somebody who really needs to hear it. Can't do that. It's for the preacher first, and then maybe for somebody else. I hope. I don't know. How could Satan offer Jesus the kingdoms of the nations of the world? How did he get a hold of that? They're not even his to offer. Yes, they were. Let me show you. Because Adam and Eve, who had dominion over the world, gave it up in favor of personal glory. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. See, this battle was from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Here's what happened. This is why the enemy is messing with people's lives so much, because something happened. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, speaking to himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Wow. So that was given for man, Adam and Eve. That was theirs. We owned it. We owned it once. Wow. Now you begin to see how big the fall was. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Well, because he had dominion over it. So look after it, Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It was a victory for Satan by default. By default. Satan didn't kill them, he tempted them. They killed themselves by disobeying God's word. And that's what happens all the time. People with no life have no authority to rule in life. We jokingly say, I jokingly say sometimes, get a life. Sometimes when I'm sharing Christ with people, I'm telling them, get a life. They look at me like, are you insulting me? No, I'm telling you to receive Jesus so that you can be alive. Get the life back that Adam gave away. Never mind getting after the devil or anything else. He simply tempted as he tempts today. And people simply fall today in their lives and stumble because they keep falling to the temptation to be in charge of their lives and to manage the situations. Situations don't work out because we get involved and sometimes get ahead of God. We can't do that. You want to live in the life that you have, be in subjection, bow down to God, and you have the authority to live the Christian life. Not according to your standards, according to God's standards. I know a story of a young lady. It's my daughter. She trained as a teacher. And she was the favorite sub everywhere. But she couldn't get off the sub list. It just didn't work out. There's always too many people with too much seniority. And then a job came along for a job in the office of the district. And nobody put their name in for it. So she threw her name in the hat. not really qualified for it, but you threw her name in the hat. She got the job. And then the person just above her trained her in the job. And now she loves her job way more than teaching and makes a whole lot more than teaching. But she just wanted to be a teacher, but God had something else for her. And sometimes we live like that as believers. And the enemy wins by default. You are worth a lot more than you think. And God wants more for you than you've ever asked yet. And He loves you so much, He'll give it to you before you ask. But don't get all humble on Him and refuse it. Let humility be real and accept it. Yeah. And not let the enemy kick us around anymore. And don't worry about all this stuff. At the end of it, we'll see next week or the week after that Daniel, boy, he was like, whew, Lord, what did I just see? It's coming. Don't worry about it. There's a good portion of it we won't be here for. Look forward to that.